Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
The strangest experience last night, well, it wasn't last night. I was fast asleep. It was a great sleep. And suddenly, like a dream, I was being attacked by the devil. I want to tell you, the devil's real. I mean, I sensed the hair on the back of my neck actually moving. And I have a gift, and that is whenever there is a demonic force in a dream, I wake up. I woke up and I looked at the clock and it was 3:33. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I jumped out of bed and I jumped up so quick I was a little bit kind of like a drunk man going to fall over. And I said, devil, I know you. And I know that your power is limited. And I know that greater is he that is in me than in he that is in the world. And I get mad now that you would disturb my sleep. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And here's the word of the Lord that came to me. You've been singing about all things new and about restoration. I want to give you another word. Restoration is to put things back good, wonderful, as they were. But restitution is that the enemy that has assaulted you and attacked you, the ones of the demonic forces that have tried to rip you off, they're going to have to make restitution. And you are going to get 7 times more than just restoration. I'm going to do a work in you. Don't be discouraged because of the delays. Don't be discouraged because of the time. Waiting is part of the process. But when you are waiting on me, know that I'm a God that made the promises that you're standing on, and you will be much better off than you ever were, and greater will be the response, and greater will be the accumulation of all that has been robbed and stolen from your marriage, from your body, from your finances, from your ministry, from your joy, from your peace. You will have your cup running over. And you will catch the overflow in your saucer so others can drink out of it. So shout unto God with a voice of triumph and praise.
Amen. Amen. In fact, Apostle C, I'm really sensitive. Let's all stand up. I woke up at 3:30. Spirit of God said to me, I woke up and I heard the words, I make all things new. Now, I did not know the song list. I did not know the songs. But I heard the Spirit of God say, there's an anointing in the house today for a fresh inertia and empowering of the Spirit. I hear the Spirit of God say that many of us have disqualified ourselves because of the past. We've been labeled. We've been marginalized. We've made failures. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, everybody just raise your hands. I hear the Spirit of God saying, if you believe today, you'll do like David. You will recover all. There is an anointing for my people to recover all. I have not set you on the shelf. I have not disqualified you. For my power is able to step into the deep recesses of your life and bring you to my fulfillment. We will cross the line together. We will fight the fight of faith. And I will accomplish that which I have started in you. The devil's a liar. Believe my word. Today's a fresh anointing. If you believe that, give God praise in the house. Yeah, lift up. A shout to God. Amen. Woo! Amen. Good word. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a high five. Tell him, restore. 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 Restore.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Pastor David, saying, what's up, Gateway? This is such a great time in our church. I actually wish I was with you there this morning, especially because it's a Super Sunday. But today I'm serving a growing group of church planters in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Now, before I introduce our special speakers for the day, let me just quickly share with you something and then make a special announcement. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who came together for our Gateway Community Outreach Build Day. That was yesterday, and wow, I mean, it was amazing. Now, there's more to do, but what a blessing to work together to see God's vision accomplished. You guys make me super glad to be a pastor. And you know, working together in a clear vision is crucial. Vision, it gives us purpose, it inspires the best in us, it clarifies what's ahead, it gives us one heart, and it makes the impossible possible. So for this reason, I'm asking everyone, young and old, friends both old and new, to dream a little bit with Kathy and I about the future. We want everyone to join us at our upcoming Catch the Vision event. This will be a time to discover what God has ahead for us at Gateway and how the Lord wants to use us together. So please get the details, be there, and catch the vision with us. Now, as I said, we have some very special speakers today. Pastor Chandler and Chyna Cleveland will be with us for our Super Sunday. I really appreciate them. Both this morning and tonight, you're going to hear the Word of God, and your faith is going to be strengthened. They are greatly loved as pastors and elders in this house, and they're also used mightily all over the world. Everybody, both married and single, is really going to be encouraged today. Well, Gateway, I love you very much. I'll see you next Sunday, and until then, be blessed. Now, please welcome one of our best, Pastor Chandler Cleveland.
Thank you so much. You all just want me to preach good. That's all. Okay, so welcome to Gateway, everyone. And we're glad to be here also. My wife and I literally just returned on Thursday from China, Guam, and Australia. I'm practicing my down under language, or at least my tone. And it was tremendous, tremendous visitation in every single place. The heavens were open. It was amazing. It was the best trip ever. So some of you were praying for us here at the church. We really appreciate it. It paid off. And we leave tomorrow morning going to Colombia and South America for about 2.5 weeks to minister there. So please remember our faces and may God imprint it on your heart. Let's go right to the Word of God, because I don't have enough time to do what I need to do today, but what else is new for me? And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, reading from the Voice translation. It's great to be home. Great to be with you. Good to see your wonderful faces. I can't see them too well right now, but it's all right. Verse 1, of all the wild creatures the eternal God had created, the serpent was the craftiest. So the serpent says to the woman, is it true that God has forbidden you to eat fruits from the trees of the garden? Eve replies, no, serpent. God said we are free to eat the tree from the trees, fruit from the trees in the garden. We are granted access to any variety and all the amounts of fruit with one exception, the fruit from the tree in the center of the garden. God instructed us not to eat or touch the fruit of that tree or we would die. Serpent replies, die? No, you'll not die. God is playing games with you, girl. The truth is that God knows the day you eat the fruit from that tree, you will awaken something powerful in you and become like him, possessing knowledge of both good and evil. So the woman approached the tree, eyed its fruit, coveted its mouth watering wisdom, granting beauty. She plucked the fruit from the tree and ate. She then offered the fruit to her husband, who was close by, and he ate as well. Suddenly their eyes were opened to a reality previously unknown. For the first time, they sense their vulnerability and rush to hide their naked bodies. I'm glad the kids are gone. Hide their naked bodies, stitching fig leaves into crude loincloths. Then they heard the sound of the eternal God walking in the cool, misting shadows of the garden. The man and his wife took cover among the trees and hid from the eternal God. God called unto Adam, asked, where are you? Adam says, when I heard the sound of you coming in the garden, I was afraid because I am naked. so I hid from you. God asked, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree in the center of the garden, the very one I commanded you not to eat from? Adam, pointing at his woman, said, it was she, that woman you gave me. Emphasis on you. As a companion, put the fruit in my hands and at gunpoint, Lord, I ate it. God said to the woman, what have you done? It was a serpent. He tricked me and I ate. The Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Everybody's eating, Lord. And thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, God, to redeem, to recover. Lord, we've heard your prophetic word this morning through Apostle C. And it's terrible when people read my notes before I preach and then prophesy my message. But Father, thank you for the tremendous confirmation by the Spirit of God to affirm your word and to celebrate your word and to give that second emotion to your word, that we will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that your word is that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that the entrance of your word brings light. All darkness flees when your word enters, that you have promised to the prophet Jeremiah that you would write your word upon the tablets of our hearts and the tablets of our minds, that you send your word not to harm us, but to heal us, and that signs and wonders and miracles and healings follow the word of God. We say it so this day, right now, in the hearing of our ears, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes all that you sent it to do. It's like the dew and the rain that descends from heaven. It brings forth the crop and the harvest it was intended to bring, in the mighty and the sovereign name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk today about this idea of identity theft. It is a rampant crime that's taking place in our culture, our society. But to understand better what this passage has to do with that, let's consider the backdrop of what this narrative, this story speaks from. If you read chapter 2, and if you read the rest of chapter 3, we get an idea of what kind of atmosphere Adam and Eve lived in. And I just want to point some things out because it's most telling. They had a blissful and happy marriage and home up to this point. They lived in a garden. A luscious, fruit-filled, glorious tree, flower-lined garden. They worked, but there was no sweat, no stress, no anxiety, no angst. The Bible says there was no pain, no hurts, no scars, no wounds. There was no traffic. They had peace, tranquility, serenity, safety. We even understand in chapter 2 that they were naked and unashamed. There was no shame. There was no need for shame. Why? Because there was no embarrassment. There was no need to hide. No need to be defensive. No need for name calling. No need for putting down. No need of, there was no fear. There was nothing demeaning done. There was no sarcasm, no cynicism, no finger pointing, no favoritism. There was no demanding and seeking to control. There was no nepotism, no jockeying, no fault finding, no criticism, no politics, no vying for power, no measuring up, no backbiting, no allegations. There's transparency. There's acceptance. And with God, there's perfect fellowship. They have nonstop communion with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. They have intimacy with God. Somebody said that intimacy means into me you see. That they are able to see into God and God sees into them and they are one. And they are experiencing closeness. There's unbroken fellowship. They know what it is to have God walk in the cool of the day in the garden with them. This is heaven on earth. Truly, they know and they are known. And all of a sudden, it's ripped away from them. They lost all of that. It was stolen from them. What happened? A thief came to visit them and robbed them, pilfered, absconded with that which God had given to them. Because all of this was the gift of God. All of this was the blessing of God. All of this was from God's heart to them. But there was a major identity theft. Why do I say identity? Because again, all of this is centralized. All of this is anchored. All of this is because of God. You remove God, you have none of this. But with God, it's wonderful. Perfect blessing. I want to define the idea of identity. Experts tell us that identity is the distinct personality of an individual, regarded as a persistent entity. And so we need to define personality since it's the central word in the definition of identity. And a personality is a complex of all the attributes: behavioral, temperamental, emotional, and mental. Those four together, working together, that characterizes a unique individual. That we are told that we receive input from the day we're born. And of course, there's an age-old argument of, well, was it nurture or was it nature? Was it nurture? Is it nature or is it nurture? And you know, but there's this interplay of the two. But there's this data that's sent to us all the time. There's input that's being communicated all the time. Messages we're receiving all the time that are intended to shape our identity. Everybody wants to tell you who you're supposed to be. There are many people, if you don't have a plan for your life, no problem, they do. They know what God is saying to you. At least they know what they are wanting God to say to you. And they are very clear and very emphatic about who you're supposed to be. They want to recreate you over in their image. And it is very important to understand that many people are suffering from identity crisis because they're listening to too many voices about who they are. And so there's this theft of our identity that before we know it, somebody has snatched our identity and has run away with it. Just as Satan did here in this important story that is still speaking to us today. The impact, the fruit of it, the consequences are still reverberating throughout our lives today. This identity theft that took place. But you know that right now, again, identity theft is a big issue for us. Let me just read some stats about what's happening right now in our culture. Identity theft occurs when someone uses your personally identifying information without your permission to commit fraud or other crimes. The personally identifying information can be anything, ranging from your name to your social security number, your credit card number, your bank information, etc. As might be obvious from above, identity theft does not necessarily mean just stealing someone's social security number. As in the normal perception, it relates to your other personally identifying information as well. The implications of someone becoming a victim of identity theft can be huge. The crimes that have been committed after stealing identity encompass almost everything. Taking out a big loan, opening a credit card, renting an apartment, getting a phone connection, buying a car, online banking information that is stolen to withdraw money from someone's account. Approximately, and these are 2012 estimates or stats. Of course, you know, it's exponentially grown since then. But in 2012, approximately 15 million United States residents had their identities used fraudulently that year, with financial losses totaling upwards of $50 billion. On a case-by-case basis, that means approximately 7% of all adults have their identities misused, with each instance resulting in approximately $3,500 in losses. Close to 100 million additional Americans have had their personal identifying information placed at a risk of identity theft each year when records maintained in government and corporate databases are lost or stolen. These alarming statistics demonstrate identity theft may be the most frequent, costly, and pervasive crime in the United States. It seems that weekly I'm receiving a letter from some financial situation, a financial corporation or institution saying, oops, we think somebody got your information. We're going to give you free services with whatever company to repair whatever that may have been damaged. This is such a prevalent problem. But I want to insist today that from the Word of God, we have a much bigger issue than that. We can get stuff back. We can actually, with hard work, repair your credit. But we're talking about your identity from God being stolen. The stakes are much higher. The issue's much greater. The impact is priceless, not MasterCard, your identity. So what happens? Look at your notes, please. Let's walk through this. In your notes, I give you, a tremendous statement in truth. You can write this down if you want to. Christ came specifically to restore our God-designed identity to us. That's why he came. He is the one that was sent by God to make sure that we got our identity back. Can we read the scripture that's following from 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and 10? As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, referring to Jesus, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him. Would you write, would you underline, please, in him? Would you please do that? Because those are the magic words, so to speak. It all, again, hinges on in him. Say in him. This is all about him. This is all because of him. This is all through him. This is all by him. It's in him. All this is possible because of him. The restoration is because of him. That which Apostle C prophesied about restoration is in him. That in him, we will never be disgraced. Look at this. Once you had no identity, please circle the word identity. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you do because you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have mercy from God because you are in him. So how do we experience the full restoration of our identity? I'm glad you asked. Number one. Realize that there is every reason to hope for complete restoration in Christ. No matter what you may be aware of that has been stolen or taken or pilfered or what damaged, no matter what it is, there is every reason to have hope in Christ. With God, there is always hope. Without God, there is no hope. But with God, there is always, say always, there is always hope. We are in Christ. We are the ones with hope. Let's read the scriptures because this is all speaking to the reality that of what has been given to us in Christ. Romans 5 and 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, referring to Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? And then 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. There is hope in Jesus. No matter how bad you think it is, no matter how bad it has been. I want you to know today, the Spirit of God is speaking loud and clear. There's hope today. Amen. Because in Christ, there is hope. Number two, walking forward with that kind of hope in your heart. Number two, fully discover your identity in Christ and only in Him. Say only. And only in Him. That's what this is about. And only in Him. I love this passage from Psalm 62, verses 5 and 8. I pray it frequently. It's a cry of my heart, but read with me, please. My soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to Him, for my hope and expectation are from Him. Trust in, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. That we discover all in Christ. Our identity comes in Christ. So we pour out our heart to Him. So we trust in Him. We put our faith in Him. Not in what somebody's told you. Not in what somebody's made you feel. But it's in Him. And it's recovered in Him. It's restored in Him. It's redeemed in Him. It's in Him. And no one can keep this from you because it's in the name of Jesus. It is granted. It is given. There is grace. There is the power of God that comes in and through Him. So many people are talking to everybody about their problems. I think sometimes we're talking to the wrong person. I encourage you, pour out your heart to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I got to be honest, got to be transparent. I got to tell you what's on my heart. Lord, I'm tripping. Lord, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers. I don't like that person. They don't like me. God, I'm pouring my heart out to You. And the Lord wants to hear your voice. He loves your voice. No matter how often you come. Sometimes some people come too often for me, but I am not God. Hallelujah. The Lord has patience, endless patience for all of us. Hallelujah. I get tired of me, and I'm so glad that God never gets tired of me. Isn't that great? He never gets tired of you. Number three, decide. This is so important. Decide to build your life on the truth and nothing but the truth. Decide to build your life on the truth and nothing but the truth. Look at the verses. This is Jesus speaking in John 8 and 31, 32. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, then you will experience for yourselves the truth. And the truth will free you. The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. The truth is the only thing that can free us. Not flattery, not lies. Not somebody trying to make us feel good. Shoot straight is what I say. The next verse, also very helpful. As Jesus prays to His Father, the night He is to be crucified, He says, make them holy, Father, by Your truth. Teach them Your word, which is truth. You must decide what truth is and know that truth is in God's word, that God's word is truth. The truth is God's word. That everybody, look at the next verse. Everybody else is lying. Romans 3 and 4. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. Why is this important? Because I told you that all of our lives, people have been giving us input about who we are, our identity, about our destiny. And they may have been well-meaning, well-intended, but the only one who is completely true about this is God. Yes. Only He knows the truth. Only He made us. No one else made us. He created us. Only He can speak authoritatively about who we are and where we're going. Because there is someone else who is a liar. Please, let's read the next verse from John 8, 44. Jesus speaks, because there is no truth in Him, referring to Satan, that snake in the garden. When He speaks of falsehood, He speaks what is natural to Him. For He is a liar Himself and the father of lies and all that is false. He proves this with Eve. He goes to her and notice what He's doing. He's this sinister guy who is bent on planting doubt, bent on planting suspicion. And he outright lies. He says, you will not die. No, they didn't drop dead as soon as they ate of the fruit. But from that moment forward, we all began to die. It was the truth. God's word was true. It was not in the way that Adam and Eve perceived it. But Satan wants to twist. He wants to manipulate. He wants to offer a half-truth. And it's so important that we understand that God's word is truth, that everything else is a lie. And this guy, please understand, Jesus is saying that if Satan's mouth is open, okay, he's lying. That's right. If his lips are moving, he's lying. Yeah. Right. You need to understand this, that he's just doing what he was wired to do. He's doing who he is. I want to propose to you that God is deficient in one area. In the first service, they all stopped breathing. They said, you can breathe now. It's okay. God is deficient in one area. God cannot lie. It's not in him. If he tried, he couldn't do it. It's not in his DNA. There is no lie in him. The devil has no truth in him. You got to understand that any messages that are sent to you from anybody that are contrary with the word of God, it's a lie. Contradictory to the word of God, it's a lie. And you have all permission to reject it in the name of Jesus. So that's not what God's word says about me. That's not what God's word has proclaimed over my life. That's not what God's word has meant for me. That's not what God is saying to me. Get your identity back. Just as it was stolen in the garden, for too many of us, it was stolen from us. And innocently, people who were in our lives as authority figures, they said things, they did things, they acted in ways towards us that sent a message about our worth, about our value, about our identity and our destiny. And I want you to know something. Only Jesus has earned the right to speak about your identity. Only Jesus has earned the right to speak into your destiny. Everybody else is suspect. This is critical because we've had some very influential people in all of our lives who have conveyed messages about who we are and who we're not going to be, what we can do and what we can't do, what profession or what career or what ministry. And too many of us have accepted what they've said as gospel. And it's impacted us and it's affected us. And because of that, we've been robbed. Our real destiny has been robbed. Our real life in God has been robbed. But this day the Lord says, I'm here to set you free. I'm here to set you free. Jesus says in John 10:10, he does two things. First, he gives the devil's job description, and then he gives his, and his is greater. Hallelujah. First, he says the devil has come in order to steal and kill and destroy. But don't worry. I came that you may have life and enjoy it and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So what is the Lord saying? You have a choice about who you're going to listen to. It's your call. You have to choose this day. Who am I going to listen to? Who's going to speak into my identity? Who's going to speak into my destiny? Am I going to let someone that's clueless about themselves? And that's all of us. I'm sorry. That's every single one of us. How do we try to play God in somebody else's life? We have no idea what to do with our own. It's a long story. We're amazingly egomaniacal. Refuse to listen to any voice again that contradicts what God's word says about you. And for you to know what God's word is, you probably have to dust off your Bible. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for your iPad or your other your other device, your iPhone has a Bible in it, we hope. It's free to download it. Number four, receive healing in your relationships by finding all your worth and value in Christ alone. Healing comes when you find all your worth and value in Christ alone. If there's any mixture, or if it's based somewhere else, you're going to have issues and problems in your relationships. I mean, look at what happened when they no longer had their identity in God. Look at what happened. They turned on each other. It got ugly fast. And when it gets ugly in our relationships, somebody's no longer finding their identity in Christ. It's kind of quiet in this church today. I understand. You all are meditating. I get it. You're contemplating what I just said. Taking it in. You know, we really need to deal with this, because sometimes we're acting things out, and, you know, we're acting up, and our attitude's getting the best of us. And you know why? Because our identity is not in Christ. Our identity is somewhere else. And sometimes it's in the love of somebody, and you're rejecting me. So I'm angry at you, and I'm vengeful, and I'm retaliating. And how dare you not be there for me? And there's pressure and demanding, because our hope is not in Christ. Our expectation's not in Christ. My wife and I have decided to loose each other, that there's a hole inside each of us that only God can fill. And he's not going to let anybody fill that hole. Nobody will have that kind of power in your life. No one will get their hands on that place in your heart. It belongs to the Lord. No one will even get close. So don't get mad at them, because they're not touching the deep, 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 deep. Part of your soul is reserved for God. It's reserved for the Lord. That's his place. That's his spot. And no human being can fill the void. No human being can take his place. He won't permit it. That's your God place. But we pressure and we oppress and we demand and we're hurtful. And why weren't you there for me? And you didn't do that for me. And what's wrong with you? And you know what? You're just like your mama. And we're just like your daddy. And oh my God. Is the Garden of Eden all over again? And then we get mad at the Lord. Well, you led me into this marriage. Where were you when I needed you to tell me go left when I went right? I was trusting you, Lord, and you let me marry this person. And I had 99 confirmations. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 4:18. Listen to what Jesus says. He talks about the essence of his ministry in our lives. Listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus says, is upon me, because he's anointed me. I'm the anointed one. I'm the Messiah to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Anybody had some calamity in your life? Oh, Jesus is just for you. Jesus came for you. He came for me. He is the best at healing. And he's anointed. He heals, and he'll heal our relationships if we let him. He'll heal our relationships as long as we can stop this. Not me, Lord. Of course not me. God, oh no. Fix my husband, Lord. I mean, I've had people bring their spouses to me, and they said, I'll know you're good if you can fix him. I lie not. And I said, you're the problem. But anyway, John, praise the Lord. You're the problem. Number five, live out, resolve to live out your God-given identity by God's grace. This has to be lived out. This has to be walked out. That you can't say that's good preaching. You got to leave here and say, by God's grace, Lord, I'm going to receive healing, and I'm going to act like I'm healed, and I'm going to begin to relate differently and live out what God has done in me. Look at the verses from Luke 6 again. I tell you, love your enemies, Jesus said. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity. Please underline identity. This is a God-created identity. This is not an identity someone else has spoken over your life. This is from God. This is the truth, because his word is the truth. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind, so you be kind. How many of you have experienced before the kindness of the Lord? Isn't it incredible? Isn't it marvelous? It's like, you shouldn't be doing this to me, but I'll receive it. If I was you, I wouldn't be doing it, but hey, thank God I'm not you. Oh, hallelujah. Pour it on, Lord, pour it on. I'm so glad I'm not God. You ought to be glad too. And it's just tremendous, and I'm glad you're not either. And I've discovered that nobody's God but the Lord. And I'm sick of people trying to play God in my life, and I'm really tired of it, but I'm also tired of me trying to play theirs. Like, I know what you should be doing, and I know, and I don't know anything. I don't know for me. I have to find myself on my knees myself saying, Lord, show me the way. You are the way. Lead me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. There's some resources we have right here at Gateway that are magnificent that will help you in this journey. Because what am I saying? I'm saying that you need to look at this seriously. That, and I told my wife, I said, sincerely, sweetheart, I did not marry you to make you miserable. I really didn't. I don't know how that happened. I didn't set out to do that. When I said I do, it was not, I do make you miserable. That's not what I intended. That's not what I intended. But being a human and being from a human family and being me, hallelujah, it just happens sometimes. That, oh, my God. But, you know, she says I'm getting better, hallelujah. But the point is this. I mean, that's all I can go by is what she says. You know, I can't judge myself because you know, I don't know. It's too subjective. Of course, I'm going to give myself brownie points where I deserve none. She only knows the truth because she hasn't lived with me. But the point is this, that we do things in our relationships and we think it's okay. It's not. Now, it may be normal to us because it was normal in your family of origin. But what was normal to your family ain't normal. The anger that's played out, or the silence that's played out, and you're slamming the door and closing the door and going to your room and you going to your room, that's not normal. It was normality in your family, but it's not normal. God wants to heal you. You can live better. You can have better. Your relationships can be blessed if you'll allow his healing. And there's some phenomenal ministries right here at Gateway that will bless your socks off and bring you into the restoration of your God-given identity. There is Cleansing Streams. Anybody been blessed by Cleansing Streams? Yeah. Incredible ministry. Incredible truth that God blesses. And then also we have right here Gateway, Restoring the Foundations. It's kind of step two, even more in depth, to bring you into the blessed identity and destiny that God has for you. And then my wife and I have been supremely blessed by Family Foundations. We went for 2 weeks last summer to Denver, and God ambushed me. It was incredible. I've never had a better 2 weeks in my life. Day out, day after day after day of God just peeling away lies that I've thought about myself, thought about him, and thought about others. There's nothing like freedom. There's nothing like freedom. I'm a better husband as a result of that 2 weeks. My wife says so. So it's important to get confirmation. Hallelujah. Confirmation is important. Could you stand with me right now? Could we pray together? Jesus is so gracious to come to bless us, to bring us his truth, to set us free. How many of you love the Lord today? Well, you know, Jesus accepts you just the way you are. Isn't that great? We don't have to change anything to come to Christ. We don't have to jump through any hoops to come to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That he accepts us just the way we are. He receives us. But he loves you too much to leave you like that. I'm so glad he doesn't leave me alone. Are you glad he didn't leave you alone? Or are you glad Jesus puts his hands on you and ministers to you, ministers truth? Now let's pray this prayer together, because he is granting our identity back. Now, in a few minutes after the song, the prayer team's going to come forward, and Pastor Chris is going to come and say some things. But you know, there's an anointing in this house. And I prayed after I saw what God did in Australia and then China and Guam. I said, Lord, I want the same anointing at my church, Gateway. Breathe on us. Don't let us come and it'll be another Sunday, another time together. Lord, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Because his breath will cause some shackles to fall off all by itself. His breath will cause chains to fall off. His breath will heal a marriage. Heal a home. Heal sisters and brothers. It'll heal used to be best friends. Let's read this prayer together. Father God, thank you for all that you have given me in Christ. Help me to place all my trust, hope, and confidence in him. Let me receive total healing and restoration in my life and relationships as I direct all my expectations to Christ and to him alone. By faith, I receive strength today to live out my true identity in and through Christ. I praise you that I know you are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 As I give the mic to Pastor Chris, let me just say this. My wife and I are graced by God to every single week deal with leaders. That's what we do. We deal with leaders all over the world. And that's our calling. And I have to make faces to help them laugh so that when God comes in for surgery, that's a bit of an anesthesia first. But let me tell you something. We can be in church 50 years and our identity not be in Christ.
Oh, come on.
We do things to people. We say things to people. And it's because our identity is not founded. It's not only in Christ. So there's some kind of pressure, some kind of fear acting out of us, some kind of resentment, some kind of insecurity, some kind of inadequacy acting out of us. And I'm telling you, Jesus needs to heal us. He must. Because this church is going to be too small because of all the people God's sending here. This building's too small. It's too small, says the Lord. It's too small, says the Lord. And I'm going to give the money. Don't worry about the money. I'm going to give the money to enlarge it. You just built that playground. Move everything over, says God, because I'm enlarging. And I'm sending the people that will need healing. But will the healers be healed? Will the healers be healed? I want the healers to be healed. And every one of you are going to know the gifts of the Spirit like you've never known them before. You're going to know the flow of grace like you've never known them before. You're going to know my hand on you like you've never known them before. And joy shall abound in you. Satisfaction and fulfillment shall abound in you. You have never enjoyed life like you're about to enjoy it. And all your tomorrows are that yesterday. All your yesterday. Forget about it. Today is the day of the Lord. God is going to use this congregation. He is marrying the anointing of Evangel with the anointing of Gateway. He's marrying. It shall be better than ever. Better than ever. More miracles, more signs, more wonders, more healings, more transformation than ever. Your homes are going to be transformed, says the Lord. Open your heart to me, says God, and I will do this. It's my good pleasure. Great days are ahead for this congregation. Great days. Tell Pastor David, don't worry about the money. God's giving the money. There'll be no appeal. It won't be necessary. God's gifting the money. God's granting the money. No pressure, no sweat, because God is ready to send in people like you've never seen before, like you've never seen before, like you've never seen before. All nations. All nations. All nations. And he's sending people from many nations to come and bring a deposit of who they are. Because it will be a complete work. It will be a total work. It will be a full work of the Spirit. And every need shall be met, says the Lord. So let the healer be healed. And all of you are healers. Sorry, we signed you up already. Without your permission. Be great to give it to now after the fact. Belated. Because it can only happen with your permission. In Jesus' name.
Wow, 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 wow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, now's the time, decision time. Spirit of God, just move, touch, draw. There's people in here that have been damaged in life. And there's a mask. You come to church with a mask. But now's the time. Spirit of God is here. There's a new anointing. That's what I heard this morning at 3:30, that there's a fresh anointing for us to go where the Spirit of God wants to take us. We need healed. We need to be whole. We need to have the capacity to contain the anointing. There's people in here today that have been hurt, have been abused, have disqualified themselves, gone through traumatic situations. Let's have the prayer team come up in the front. Right now, there's an anointing for breakthrough right now. The Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, all things are passed away. In a split second, the presence of Christ can wash away the pain. For Jesus died not only for the stain of sin, but also for the pain of sin. So, Father, right now, draw the hurting, the wounded, the downcast, the ones that need a touch. Come forward up here right now and get prayer. Don't be ashamed. Don't hide behind the mask. You don't have to hide behind the pain, behind another identity that's been labeled on you. Come up here quickly. Come on up to the front and get prayer. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name for the drawing of your kingdom, Lord God, for the people to be healed, for the backslider to be healed, for those that don't know you to come to know you as Lord, for those that have been through divorce, abuse, those that have been through, Lord, traumatic situations in life, Lord, today's the day of healing, Father God. So let your anointing rest. We're going to sing, we're going to worship the Lord, and as we're singing, let the Spirit of God just draw you up to the front here. We're going to pray with people. There's no shame. There's nothing hidden in the house of God. Jesus wants to touch and bless his people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a sweet anointing here today. And we're going to take it out through the week to your homes, to your neighborhoods, to your workplace. And let the Spirit of God just continue to restore, to renew. And let's believe God for his grace to continue to bring us to where we need to be. Everybody say restore. Restore. This is a day of restoration for the people of God. Amen. Hey, listen, we'll be here tonight again, Pastor Clint Chandler, at 6 o'clock. Everybody come on out. We're just going to continue on having a super Sunday. It's going to be a great day. Continue on. So we'll see you later on this evening. God bless you. Get more prayer. Come up to the front here. Get somebody to agree with you. Let's just believe God for his restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.